At Arizona State University, we're committed to our students' success. That's why we've designed our online courses to utilize adaptive technology for enhanced learning. Explore more than 300 programs online from the nation's most innovative university. Visit asuonline.asu.edu.
This program is sponsored by Amplify Peace.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to Amplify Peace. We're all about exploring how we can listen, learn, and live differently in this crazy world. Today, we want to discover the impact of empathy, the strength of unity, the power of love, and the beauty of humanity. I'm your host, Lisa Jernigan. Well, we're sitting in the month of October, and October is observed nationally as Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Now, I just looked up a few statistics just to kind of prepare and set the stage for our conversation today. On average, disturbing statistics, by the way, on average, nearly 20 people per minute are physically abused by an intimate partner in the United States. During 1 year, this equates to more than 10 million women and men. 1 in 4 women and 1 in 9 men experience severe intimate partner physical violence. 1 in 3 women and 1 in 4 men have experienced some form of physical violence by an intimate partner. This includes a range of behaviors such as slapping, shoving, and pushing, and in some cases might not be considered domestic violence. 1 in 7 women and 1 in 25 men have been injured by an intimate partner. I don't know what that does for you as a listener, but that is so disturbing to me. And I think we need to talk about this. So my guest today, she knows these statistics intimately and is a domestic survivor and a gun survivor. Join me in welcoming Vanessa Martinez. Hi, my friend.
Hi, Lisa. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. I know this is going to be a hard conversation for our listeners to hear, but it's hard for you to share because this is your story. And I met you just the other day, ran into you, and when I at church, and you just exude joy. I mean, you were just so sweet, so kind, the biggest smile on your face, just so beautiful. And I would have no idea you're carrying this story. And it's so interesting because we look around, we don't walk around with bubbles over our heads sharing our story, right? Saying what's going on in our life. But all of us carry a story, but we're not aware of what every person is carrying. And I think sometimes if we were aware that every person is carrying some form of pain or brokenness, I think we would see each other differently with more empathy and compassion. And so you didn't have a bubble over your head, but I just asked you a question and you told me a little bit about you're a domestic violence survivor and a gun survivor. So when you hear those statistics that I just read, what does that do to you?
Oh, they become beyond real. You know, you can hear them, but when I hear them, I relive again and again. And as you said, Lisa, I am a domestic violence and a gun violence survivor. I survived being shot in the head by my ex. September 11th, 2021 changed my life forever. It was my daughter's second birthday party, and I was unaware. I was being watched as I returned home with her cake. My ex approaches me with a crazed look in his eyes. And in fear, I told myself to run. I ran inside my home and locked my door. He breaks my patio window to get in. I then quickly rush my children upstairs to their room for safety. And as I close their door, there he was, quick like Freddy Krueger. I step back, preparing myself for a fight I can handle. Unaware, I'd soon be fighting for my life. If I can't have you, no one can, were his last words before the gunshot, putting a 9mm through my head, just below my right temple lobe. I immediately felt a burn on my face as I fell to the floor. And after realizing what he had done, he called 911, gave me a towel to stop the bleeding, and said, "I'm sorry, I just grazed you." I then began to feel weak and tired. I know I'm dying. I began to pray to God for help, and a fog surrounds me. and my late grandfather appears, a bright, shining angel. He puts his hand on my head and says, "You're gonna be okay, mija," giving me the strength I needed to get up off the floor, walk out of my bedroom, downstairs, and out of my condo to officers. My children followed after me, and my 4-year-old son told officers, "My daddy shot my mama." Sadly, my baby had seen everything. I flatlined in the ambulance on the way to the hospital, where they performed brain surgery and the removal of my damaged skull. It took Mesa PD 7 hours and 27 gas bombs later to locate their perpetrator, destroying and demolishing everything in their way. My children and I lost everything we owned Saturday, including our home. When I first seen my son again after the shooting, he said, "Mama, you're okay. Daddy didn't kill you because you're a Power Ranger. If it wasn't for God and my family, therapy, and the support that I have, I wouldn't be who I am today." Domestic violence not only scarred my family physically and emotionally, but financially as well. Financial assistance would have been a huge blessing. It would have given me the time I needed to rest and recover while rebuilding for our lives. But I was denied victims' compensation due to unrelated past fines that were over a decade old, which forced me to work 11 months after being shot in the head and 4 months after skull reconstructive surgery, where they placed 4 plates and 10 screws to replace my damaged skull. It's a 5% chance to survive a bullet to the head, and God definitely has a purpose for me. I know my story will save lives, and even if I can help just one find their way before they end up like I did, that's a win for me. Thank you, Lisa.
Oh, I think you did take a deep breath after that. Right. There's so much. I first of all, thank you for the courage it takes to share your story. And I'm sure every time you share that, you relive a part of that, that you don't want to forget. But I know you do it to save other women and to save lives. Yeah. And when I hear that story, and I'm sure our listeners, as they hear that story, many times you hear this in the news, or you hear it from somewhere. And what you made it is very personal, because we tend to think, oh, the healing and the effects are only physical. We know maybe there's some trauma, but like you're saying, the financial loss, like the ripple effects of this. And now you're a single mom and your whole world has been turned upside down. And I don't think we see that, especially with women. And domestic violence abuse survivors, and just, survivors of any kind, just how much of their lives have been torn apart and how much healing is needed on many levels, emotionally, physically, financially, spiritually. And you started trying to put the pieces back as much as you could, right? In the midst of your own trauma and pain. I'm going to ask a question that I know you hate. And when people hear this, and you hear about women staying in abusive relationships, and I think, you were married, if I understand, 10 years, and it wasn't always that way. Is that correct?
Correct.
And then in the last several years had become more violent. Is that true?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm going to ask this question, and I know people are thinking it and people ask it, and I know you hate it, but why do people stay in abusive relationships? I know the answer, but I think it's important for other people to hear this, because a lot of times we go, why don't they just leave? It's not that easy. It's a very complicated answer. And so can you just unpack that for us a little bit, of like, Why don't people just leave an abusive relationship?
Because leaving is easier said than done, especially in a situation where children are involved and in a situation like mine. I was threatened multiple times with a pistol, not just once. And whether I left before or when I did leave, I was going to get shot regardless. So there has to be put a lot of planning and a lot of safety planning to be able to leave. And in many situations, it's not possible.
I don't think we think about that, right? What's at risk? And you have children to consider, their safety, and what happens. Did you have a strong community around you? And and even if you do you feel safe to share all this stuff? That's a whole nother conversation, right? You have people around you, but then are they safe people? Do you feel like a lot of times survivors will say, I shared and people didn't believe me, right? And so there's all of that part of the conversation. Can you share a little bit about, just from your own experience, but I know you work with domestic abuse survivors. Answer that from different points of view, if you could.
Well, during the time of my abuse, I didn't know any of these resources. I didn't know. So for a strong community, I didn't have that, which is why I left on my own and didn't seek the help, which help is much needed in situations like mine, because leaving a domestic violence relationship can be the most dangerous part of the relationship. And I was unaware of all this information. So I speak my truth to let people know that there is help out there. And do not try to do it alone. Learn from me, because I did it alone. And there are so many resources out there that I know of now.
I want to, before, because at the end, I want you to share, go ahead and share right now. What are some of those resources you wish you would have known about that could have made a difference?
Of course. Well, for instance, we can call 211 or the shelter hotline, which is 480-890-3039, as well as the domestic violence program information, which is 602-542-4446, as well as the 24-hour domestic violence hotline, which is 1-800-799-7233. And you can also reach out to ACES DV, which is Arizona Coalition to End Sexual and Domestic Violence, and connect with an advocate. You can reach them at 602-279-2900.
And we'll put this information on our radio page so people can go to that and see and get the information and the phone numbers. Make that easy for them.
Yes, please do. Love that.
So what difference would it make for you if you would have known about these?
I could hope it would have made a big difference. You know, we can't go back, but I would have hoped that this wouldn't have happened this way it did.
Okay, I want to talk because I know the answer to this, but I want people, because like I said, I wish people could see, we're on Zoom right now and I can see your face and you just light up. Your eyes smile, your face, you just have such a sweet presence about you. And it's remarkable as we listen to this journey, because you could be filled with hatred, with rage, with anger, with resentment. And you've chosen a different path. You've chosen the path of forgiveness. Can you share with us? Because I mean, that's for a lot of people sitting here going, I don't know if I could forgive somebody that just, especially the person that was supposed to protect me and love me, and instead they tried to kill me. So can you talk about the role of forgiveness in your life and in the lives of your children?
Of course. You see, I couldn't be bitter. That's not in my heart. I have to forgive. I'm alive. Again, it's a 5% chance to survive a bullet to the head, and I'm here. And I'm here for my babies. And I understand that he tried to take me out and he did the worst thing. But you know what? In God's will, I am alive. My children have their mother, and there's nothing I could be angry about. I forgive the man that did this to me because God is going to take care of it all. This is all part of his plan. What I do is not my will. Speaking my truth is all glory to God. And my children are amazing. My son that witnessed the shooting, he just graduated from therapy and he is doing amazing. And I could not be a prouder mom of him. My children all understand and they all forgiven their father as well because their mom is okay.
Well, they're getting their cues from you. It's amazing. I mean, because they're looking to you to make sure mama's okay. And when you say I'm okay, you give them permission to be okay. It doesn't take away the pain. And it doesn't take away the need to, you know, like you said, for therapy and different things. But it's a part of the healing process. And it allows them to heal too. That's remarkable. So thank you for being such a courageous woman and a courageous mom, because you've changed the trajectory of their lives where they're not going to grow up going, you respond in bitterness and anger. It's now you respond with forgiveness and love. And that's changing the trajectory of their life because they were not going to follow those other patterns. I know he's in prison serving time for this crime. Do you have any contact with him?
No, ma'am.
Yes.
I wish him all the best. May God bless him on his journey. But contact is not a good thing between us.
Awesome. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So with this, you know, whole concept of domestic and not concept, but this reality of domestic violence and the abuse and their survivors, and this month kind of highlighting that, like, what do you want us all to know about that? Like, what can we, even though we may not be experiencing it in our own homes, in our own lives, what do you want us to be aware of? Like, what are signs that we could maybe, with family members or friends, that maybe we could be aware of? Are there certain things that we could maybe pick up on or notice and maybe open the door for conversation? And then what could that look like?
Yes, of course. Distance is a big thing. You know, once you start realizing the distance between a family member, you know, of course you want to take precautions and just ask if they're okay, because that's a big thing. Because an abuser will try to eliminate all contact and try to control as much as they can as possible. Now you have to take precautions because, again, abusers are not dumb. They're very smart. But just go in lightly as possible as you can. And just be gentle, because these situations are already hard. And all we need is a listening ear and a helping hand. And not someone to look down on us or what we're going through, because it's not our fault.
I think that is so good, because I think people want to help, but they're not sure what to say. And they don't want to say the wrong thing. So we say nothing a lot of times. And so what would you say, what are some things that, like you said, listen, just listen and don't look down on us. We're not weak. We're not weak because we're experiencing this, right? And it's not your fault. And I think a lot of people that find themselves in those situations being abused will go, I must have done something. Because the perpetrator wants them to think that, first of all, this is your fault. Talk to us about that, just abuse in general like that. Like, what are some of the things that are told, and what are some of the things that we should be aware of? And even if somebody's going, I don't know if I'm in an abusive relationship, what are some of the signs that you would advise somebody to maybe open their eyes, like, this is not typical?
Control. Once you start realizing you're being controlled, what you're doing, what you're wearing, where you're going, who you talk to, that are the signs. Of course, physical abuse comes later. You know, it doesn't start off the bat. Emotional, verbal is always the first. And then it just escalates from there. So once you start seeing those little signs, that right there will show you and tell you that something is wrong.
And that's really helpful.
Yes, thank you.
No, keep going. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Well, you're fine. And they will apologize and they will promise that it'll never happen again. But please don't believe those false promises, because it will happen again. And I encourage you to get help as soon as you start realizing this starts happening, because it's so easily to end up like I did. What happened to me happens often. And sadly, not every victim survives. Thank you.
Yeah. We need a lot of space in here, right? Just some deep breathing here. Heavy. It's a heavy conversation. It's a heavy story. And we want to honor you and your story. And again, I just want to thank you for the courage it takes to share your story, to help another person, to help another woman, so that somebody else doesn't become a statistic. And that's, I know that's where your heart is. And so what are you doing now about this? How are you using your story to help others?
As being an advocate and trying to speak at as many events as I can to spread the word of domestic violence as well as gun violence. Again, I believe my story can save many lives. So that is what I'm doing. I'm spreading the word at the moment. I recently enrolled into community college for behavioral sciences because I would love to become a counselor and take this further. I would love to write a book as well as open up my own domestic violence shelter in the future.
I want to cheer you on and just go, please do. Please, please seek this, right? We need you. We need your voice. We need you. We need your heart in this world to change that. That doesn't become typical. Abuse is not typical and it's not overlooked. And there are a lot of silent victims out there, right? That don't feel like they can share their story, that don't feel like, do you find that when you're talking with survivors that a lot of times they don't even feel worthy of getting help, right? Or doing that. Can you address, because when, like you said, it starts off with emotional and verbal abuse. That's hard. So get us inside the mind. So what is that victim, what are they thinking even about themselves?
You see, abusers, they try to break you down from the beginning. They break you down emotionally before they do physically, you know, verbally. So you feel like you are not worth anything. Take me, for example. After being released from the hospital, my sister had told me, the news wants to talk to you. People want to talk to you. And I was confused, like, what do you mean? People know? People care? She says, of course they do. What did you think? Nobody was going to care? And I said, exactly. Who am I? Because that is what is done to us in abuse. We are belittled. My ex used to tell me, nobody was going to love me. Nobody was going to want me. And that I deserve better, that there was no better. Well, you know what? I proved him wrong, because here I am and I'm shining and God shines through me every day. And I am not promoting gun violence. No, please don't take that from what I'm saying. But in my situation and my outcome, I would not change what happened to me for anything, because I would still be dealing with the hateful, ugly man that I was. And I love the life that God has granted for me.
It's so beautiful, because what you're saying is there's hope and healing on the other side.
Yes, for sure.
Don't believe the lie.
You're right.
An abuser wants to try to tell you that nobody cares, you're not worth it, you're not lovable. Don't believe the lie, and that people care and there's a community out there, right?
You are not alone. There is light at the end of the dark tunnel you are in. And I promise you that.
And you're one who knows.
Yes, ma'am.
You've lived that journey, and you're here today sharing with us. Again, I just can't thank you enough for taking the time to share your story. I know it's hard. I see the tears. We hear your voice. It's still part of you. It'll never go away. But there's still healing, and there's still hope, and there's still Jesus.
Yes.
And he's enough.
Yes.
And he'll meet us in those places. So to our listeners, if you're listening to this, if you're finding yourself and going, you know, I can relate to part of the story, we just encourage you to get help. Get help.
Please.
Take the first step, right? Don't wait. Get help. And if you're maybe somebody that you go, I've been wondering if somebody, a family member or a friend or a coworker, their behavior is changing, they're a little more distance, please reach out.
Yes.
Again, thank you, Vanessa. You're a bright light in this world. We need your voice. Well, as always, thank you for being a part of this podcast and the Amplify Peace community. For more information of living as a peacemaker in today's world, connect with us at amplifypeace.com, and you can follow us on all social media. Shalom.
This program was sponsored by Amplified Peace.
It's official. Desert Financial Credit Union proudly announces that once again, we've been named Arizona's number one credit union by Forbes. And you know what makes it even more special? The scoring came from our members. They rated us tops in convenience, kindness, and community. We love sharing success with our members. Our 2023 Member Give Back Cashback Reward was $16 million. Discover the difference and join the best credit union in Arizona. Get started today at desertfinancial.com.